Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. For those who are listening and worshiping with us from Pacific Beach in San Diego and Raleigh, Durham, let me be clear and announce for you that this is Parents' Weekend at Boston University, and we are delighted to greet our parents in this season of coming and going, of leaving, and of returning. We are aware of all of the many festivities of this weekend, and we recognize too the gift of our visitors with us today. You know, this is a time when you can catch a gleam in a dad's eye or the curl of a smile on a mother's mouth as they pass by on Commonwealth Avenue. It's a time of feelings as well as thoughts. It is a time when we have a feeling of gratitude, of thanksgiving. That's not just thanksgiving because there's one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry, one less teenager to pick up after, although that's a word of thanksgiving as well. It's serious and more bone-jarring than that. It's the feeling of the catch in the throat that a year and 10 and 19 have gone by, and breath and life and love together. Thanks be to God. We saw Fiddler on the Roof 30 years ago, and now we know what they meant. That's the prayer we utter along Commonwealth Avenue. If we can open our lips to utter it, thank you. This is a time of feeling, a feeling of loss as well. You know, the feeling of loss is a nearby neighbor to the feeling of thanksgiving, the neighbor to the right or maybe in the flat just above. We have a feeling of loss, and it's not just the loss you may feel when you're writing that first or second tuition check, although that is a feeling too. It's the loss that comes when you recognize that to move to adulthood, there needs to be separation. So hard and so good. We took our three children from Rochester to the center of Ohio, each for a different reason, to a small college, as I like to say and repeat. We took them to a small Methodist college for small Methodists, fall by fall. And when we returned, I thought each time that the tears would stop, certainly by the time we reached Cleveland, or at least when we got to Erie, strange name, or when we got to Buffalo, or at least when we got home. But you know, they didn't at any point, and in some ways, they haven't stopped yet. There's a prayer that comes along Commonwealth Avenue, and it's goodbye. There's a feeling, too, of hope in this season. How can you not feel hope at matriculation, for instance, when there are 4,000 and more 18-year-olds, 8,000 feet, 8,000 hands, 8,000 eyes, and when they stand to cheer in one voice, it's like being on the beach with a 10-foot wave coming toward you. That is, it's terrifying. If you can get a prayer out, it's something like, Baba, bless you. This is a season of feeling. We bathe in feelings in this hour, and we come to listen to the good news, the beginning of the gospel in Paul, 1 Thessalonians, the beginning of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And in both, they advise us to turn to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for God's Son from heaven, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come, to turn toward vocation, calling, service. And also in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, to sense and see, to be salt, to be light, to take your light out from under a bushel. We are discovering here at Marsh Chapel the passion with which to live. You'll notice the windows to right and to left. Location is important. We have spots, places identified in the lower bank of windows, all very important. Christ Church, the Temple in Jerusalem, the Boston Stump, and all. But here our saying is not location, location, location. At Marsh Chapel, our word is vocation, vocation, vocation. And so across the top bank of windows, you have those stories, Some we would add different representations and names today. Stories of those who heard a voice and heeded after a knock, 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 a thump, thump, thump at the door. Those who heard where their deepest passion met the world's greatest need. Those who took a stand and a trajectory in life so that they could find a place to say, where is yours? Here I will plan for the worst, hope for the best, then do my most, and leave all the rest. Where is that essentially you, that ingredient of vocation in and through which you can blend together your ability, affability, and availability into a life that becomes the gospel? You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes had it right. Any profession is great when greatly pursued. Our work here is vocation, vocation, vocation. And there are some within the hearing of the gospel in its reading and interpretation today who will be called out and up to a form of service, maybe even to a calling to the preaching of the gospel. This is a community of 35,000. Somewhere, somehow, each year, Jan and I believe, there will be women and men who hear and heed a calling to ministry. We may need in the announcement of this good news to remember some stories from the past. We live out of the future, but we understand out of the past. And it's our memory, finally, that feeds our hope. We may need to remember some older stories. We may need to remember Come a Sunday devoted to vocation. The story of Albert Schweitzer, who grew up in that little land between France and Germany, Alsace-Lorraine, grew up in a Lutheran parsonage, gave himself to music. He was a child prodigy upon the organ, traveled the world playing the organ after a while, grew up to follow in his father's footsteps and to become a Lutheran pastor, to run a seminary in Strasbourg, and to become, for his time, one of the great New Testament scholars. His work to this day stands the test of time, and his book, The Quest of the Historical Jesus, reminding us that we can see very little, actually, in history of the person of Jesus, said Schweitzer at the end of his great tome. And speaking, these words speak to us today. He comes to us as one unknown. As of old, he came to those along the lakeside who knew him not. He speaks the same word, follow me. And to those who will obey him, be they wise or be they simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, sufferings, and struggles which they shall pass through in their fellowship with him. And they shall learn as an ineffable mystery in their own experience who he is. You shall learn as an ineffable mystery in your own experience who he is. Schweitzer at midlife left behind organ, left behind study desk, left behind Greek New Testament, studied for 6 years to become a medical missionary, and spent 40 years healing the hurts of the Powan and Benjabi tribesfolk in Central Africa. So at the end of his life, he could look across a great river and see a herd of hippopotami coming toward him and phrase and coin his own central philosophy of life, a reverence for life. Vocation leads to God. We may need to remember the story of Jane Addams, not very well known here on the East Coast, and yet one of the great heroines of American life. She grew up 130 years ago in Rockford, Illinois, and somehow, in a time not very amenable to the leadership of women, found her way alone to the great windy city of Chicago, that city called Windy because of the loquacious character of its leadership, by the way. There they were. She, over 100 years ago, developed what to this day is perhaps the greatest single experiment in social ministry in American history, creating Hull House. Hull House was the child of the imagination of one
generous, gifted woman, Jane Addams with two D's. There she developed a feminine community, a feminine spirituality, a feminine energy. She created female labor unions more than 100 years ago. She required safety checks in factories. She gave birth to playgrounds and daycare centers and also created stage plays and a sense of community, and then traveled the country speaking about the needs of the poor. In 2008, her words ring true to you and me. The blessings, she said, the blessings that we associate with a life of cultivation and refinement will be uncertain unless they are universal. The good that we secure for ourselves is uncertain, floating in midair, until and unless it is secured for all and is a part of our common life. Just before he died, our colleague and neighbor Christopher Lash wrote on her life, saying that like many reformers before her, Jane Addams found a part of herself which, once released, freed up all the rest. Vocation leads to God. We may need to remember on this Sunday Howard Thurman. One does not enter this pulpit without thinking of his presence, reminding oneself of the gift of his spirit in this very spot. You know, as a younger person, he studied for theology at the Rochester Theological Institute, and he was in the summers employed at the First Baptist Church of Roanoke, Virginia. While the minister was away on vacation, Thurman went, and the first year he was there, on the very first night, the phone in the parsonage rang. Thurman answered, as he wrote in his autobiography. The woman on the other end of the line said, "Is Dr. James there?" "No," he explained the situation. "Dr. James was away." "Well, Dr. James is the chaplain at our community's hospital, and we have a patient here, and the patient is dying, and he would like to see a minister. Are you a minister?" And Thurman wrote, all of a sudden, in one kaleidoscopic moment, all of the struggle and decision of my life were laid before me. A decision about vocation was required. So honest he, and all the ambiguity and worry of my choice were before me until I said, "Yes, I am a minister." "Well," she said, "then you better come, and you better come quickly, and please hurry. You may not be here in time." And off he went so quickly that he forgot his Bible, up the stairs into the hospital. She pulled back the dreaded curtain, and there the man did lie, reached up, eyes focused, and said, "Do you have anything to say to a man who is dying? If so, do so, and do it quickly." And as Thurman wrote, he bowed in silence, and no words came. And then he began to pray, and he lifted in one awesome gesture all of his soul, as if he were standing and reaching to the heavens, to God himself, and paused, and finally uttered an amen. The man, he wrote, took my hand, opened his mouth, and said, "Thank you. I understand." He died with his hand in mine. Vocation leads to God. Your vocation may not be that of a medical missionary. Your vocation may not be that of a social reformer. Your vocation may not be that of a pastoral minister. But God has given you grace and gifts to make this world a better place. Where is your passion for living? And where does that deepest passion meet the world's greatest need. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Amen.